WWE is bringing WrestleMania back to Orlando. I'm excited about that. Look at this guy. Look at you. You look like a goddamn GQ model. How handsome. You got a vest? Jeans? Oh, my God. Sit down. Have a seat. You're too tall for me to stare like that. Yeah. Sit on my lap.
How are you, brother? Good to see you, man.
Great to see you.
Sheamus is going to be at WrestleMania. I don't know what his plans are. Let's see if we can, we can get a little insight. He's the only other one of your people in the studio, the only other Irish guy. Show me your tattoos. Show me your coat of arms on each arm.
And you're really Irish.
Yeah, really. I'm American Irish.
Mm. American Irish. That's no harm in that.
Get up on that microphone so everybody can hear you.
There you go. It's on Snapchat.
Let's talk about your nose ring first. There's no way in the world. I know you're a tough guy. But there's no way. Well, can you give him a man-size headphones? He's a WWE superstar, and you're giving him flea market headphones to use on the show.
As big as yours, mate.
Yeah, I know. You got a big old melon on you. Stand by. Plugging in Sheamus.
Right, so yeah. Which is an
give him, the guests get all the Malectronic headphones. You get the flea market headphones. Is that better?
Yeah, it's way better, yeah. I can hear you now.
Tell
me
that you're...
Even though I could hear you before I put the headphones on. It's just sitting right beside me.
Tell me you didn't cry a little when they pierced your nose.
I have to say there was a lot of water did streak down my face.
I mean, that's got to hurt. Anytime you ever get hit in the face, you would know by accident that you want to kill somebody. Even like my son has hit me in the face a couple of times. I want to choke him. And just because it's like such a sore spot, what would possess you to do that?
You know, I had the mohawk and I had the braids and the beard. I just thought, like, listen, I might as well just go full whack with this whole gimmick, you know. And I just thought, when I went up there, I was living in Odessa for a while. So I went to the mall, Citrus Park Mall there, and I was like, before he stuck the needle in, I was like, I said, you're going to freeze it, right? He goes, he looked at me like, no.
What is this, 1974?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So he lasted in there, but I was taking RKOs for about, I think, six months afterwards, so the thing never healed because of that.
Oh.
Every night. A couple of times it bounced out, but it's still there, you know, nose is intact, hasn't got any bigger, which is good because it's big enough.
It does add to the toughness, because I don't want to fight a guy that's willing to put his nose through that kind of pain for me. Plus, there's very few guys that could pull off the beard braid and look cool or look mean while doing it.
Well, if you know one of them, just let me know.
I'll point him out to you.
It
certainly
wasn't me.
Can I tell you who I'm not scared of?
Who?
Cesaro. No matter what they do, he can't make me scared.
Well, he's a nice guy.
I know, but he's so good. He's such a good wrestler. And I want him to be a good... And he came out looking like Jason Statham in The Transporter. And I'm like, all right, I got this. And then all of a sudden, he's just too goofy, too nice on the inside.
Yeah.
You'd have him slap some kids over the weekend, trying to toughen them up a little bit.
I will. We'll try and do a Facebook Live where he slaps some kids.
Yeah, that'll ruin it.
And that'll probably end of his career. But, you know, there's a couple of indies out there you can go to.
Where do you start your career? Where'd you first do wrestling?
I just had this conversation the other day. I had to start in Ireland. I started like in 04, 05. And I started training this Irish Whip Wrestling School in Dublin. And
who are you watching that makes you want to be a wrestler? Like, what are you watching and you're like, I definitely want to do this?
I've watched it since I was a kid. I've watched Macho Man was the first superstar that I was a huge fan of.
Did you know him? I knew him pretty well. Did you get to know him?
No, and I never got to meet him.
What a weird dude. I mean, in the best way ever. The Macho Man that you see on TV is the Macho Man in real life. I talked about this. We've had several awkward phone conversations. We've had several been in the car alone moments together. Yeah. And there's nothing weirder. So I invited him to my wedding because he and I were really close when I got married.
Right.
And he couldn't go. And he called me up and he said, your wedding can't make it. And I go, okay, that's cool. I go, I just really out of respect on it. Yeah. And he goes, is it? And I go, yeah, no, it's cool. And he goes, yeah. I go, oh, okay. I don't know what's going on.
I'm
gonna
hang up.
But I am not mad at you. He was a great. He was a great dude. He really was.
Yeah, I literally when I saw him come out as a kid, like the way the whole get up and the shtick and the persona and Elizabeth by his side, it was just incredible. That was the first guy to captivate. Even though he was the heel and the bad guy, whatever on TV when I first saw him, he's just incredible. He was one that drew me into the and then I was always a big fan of the heels, actually. DiBiase too, perfect.
Yeah.
And I got to wrestle with both of their sons too, so
that's pretty cool.
It's really cool.
So you go what? You go to this wrestling school and you think, what did your parents want you to do? Were they like, oh no, little Seamus is gonna be a lawyer?
Oh no, my old fellow was just like, what happened was I went over in 2002 to this place called the Monster Factory in New Jersey.
Right.
And it didn't really work out well. Larry Sharp was a trainer, he wasn't really around. It wasn't really put together well, so I had some visa issues too, because I was only on a holiday visa, so I came back and didn't want to overstay that, and I just kind of got pushed to the side because I couldn't get back into the States, whatever, to do a proper visa to train properly. So I literally didn't wrestle for a while, got back into IT. And then
after you did IT?
Yeah, I was in IT.
Oh, man.
That's crazy. I know, man. My dad got me into IT. I didn't know what I was doing, you know. I was just kind of like one of those lost people. I did HR, human resource management in college. And my career guidance teacher got me into that. She was very, she's a very aggressive career guidance teacher. So it's like we're all born. You know, what's between those movies where you're born into certain things in society?
Right. You've been, that's it.
She was like one of those career guidance teachers. When you're born, you already knew what you were doing. She's already laid out your life for you. But I did that, and then I started wrestling Irish Whip Wrestling. We didn't really have a proper trainer. And I did my first show. I wore a pair of combats, a pair of boots, and it was like 20 people in this bingo hall.
Oh.
And there was my dad standing against the wall, just shaking his head with his arms folded. As if I didn't look already, feel already fucking, already stupid walking out there, you know, half naked.
Yeah.
A load of strangers.
And who, did anybody else come out of the Irish Whip school that might have been of note?
Drew McIntyre came
over. Oh, really?
He came over, and Wade Barrett. They weren't from the promotion, but they wrestled a lot in the promotion. But no one else. Like, Finn Balor was on the other side of Dublin. There was two of them. There was Irish Whip Wrestling, and then there was NWA Ireland. And Finn Balor came out of NWA Ireland.
Right.
Literally like an hour, like even 45 minutes away from each other.
And you, would you come over here? When did you get, did they say, hey, we got this kid in Irish Whip that's pretty good? Or did you like, all right, I'm good enough now, I'm going to go back over here and try to get on the indie circuit or the WWE?
No, I hustle, man. I wrestle. I went to England there for a while. I talked to Finley when I met him at a tryout. I did a load of tryouts before I got signed.
Sure.
That's why I try to tell a lot of kids who they might get turned down the first time and they're like, oh man, it's not going to work. But I probably had about 3 or 4 tryouts before I was signed. I went to Dublin, or I went to London for a tryout. I flew myself to Milan the week before that. They gave me a development contract and they said, all right, you're moving to Tampa. Flew over to Tampa September 07, so I'm nearly here 10 years now. Got out of the airport in September.
At that point, are you like, I made it, I'm going to Tampa, I'm going to be in the...
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, I'm feeling it right now.
Yeah, I was like, got the contract, the WWE contract here, $500 a week.
Oh.
Stoked, big time, big money, you know?
Awesome.
So I came over and literally, like, I got out of the airport in September and I was like, it must have been like 95 degrees. I nearly fell over with shock.
Yeah.
How am I going to keep me skin so pale in the sun?
My gimmick is ruined. Right. But FCW at the time was there and it wasn't even set up. It was like a warehouse.
On Gandy, right? Right over there?
Yeah, it was overstock for public. So yeah. There was a lot of four rings, no air conditioning, and a load of like canned goods.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is it.
Welcome to America.
This is it.
This is the top of the line.
Developmental.
Clam chowder and wrestling all in the same room. So you get there and who's, there was a good class of people though, right?
Yeah, there was a lot. There was like obviously Steve Karen and Dr. Tom Pritchard were running the show there.
Right.
And I was trying to think, that Kofi was there, Jack Swagger was there, Teddy Biasi Jr. was there, Harry Smith was there, Tyson Kidd.
So he had a good group of people in there.
There's a lot of people. And the thing was, the weird thing for me was developmental. It's like anything, you know, if you're in a camp, you get cut. And the hardest part was, I was there about a week and 4 guys got cut because, you know what I mean? They make way for people who are going to make it. If people aren't stagnating, they're not going to make it. So that was a bit of a culture shock too. You make friends with these guys and then a couple of weeks later,
gone.
They're gone.
Yeah. I always watch that in like Hard Knocks and stuff before the football season, and those rookies going in there, and then they, you know, they think everything's going great. Next day, the coach wants to see him. You don't want that.
They're gone.
But fortunately, things are going great for you.
Things are going great. You know, we talk about Cesaro. I've been on TV now for 7 years, just over by 7.5 years. I've done a lot. I came in as that kind of angry, you know, bruiser, like monster heel, you know.
Lots changed since then.
Everybody, yeah. I mean, it's all an evolution of the character. But I have to say I'm having the most fun now with Cesaro, just being able to just relax more, be myself more, and just, you know, we've got great chemistry where we just bounce off each other.
Yeah.
People at home watching or listening, I mean, I've seen it on TV. It really is a fun dynamic. And we went to Europe there for 2 weeks, and stuff that just pops up organically. That's the greatest thing. When
that's when if something clicks like that, you know you got something good.
Yeah, it's been great.
I love. As a heel, you gotta love when the crowd is when you can get the crowd fired up to hate you. That's the best thing ever. The other day when you were yelling at them in the middle of the ring, I love that.
It's the fun part for me.
That's almost better than having them cheer for you, I think, is having them cheer against you or interrupt you while you're trying to talk.
I love it.
Yeah.
The shame chance and the you look stupid chance.
The shame chance are the best.
What's the story with the TV or the TV monitor? Is this on? It's shown online as well?
Yeah. We're showing online. I don't know what they're showing. I can't concentrate on two things at once.
Well, that's all right. We're men, right? We're not able to.
Yeah.
I can only concentrate on one thing at once.
Yeah. Is it hard for you to stay as white as you do? Are you like, for the love of God, let me get a little color in there, or do you love it?
I tried everything. Like, I tried sunbeds, and then all these mad spots started appearing on my back.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then I tried fake tan, and I just, you know, I looked like Donald Trump. The younger version of Donald Trump. And then, you know, I just look orange.
Yeah.
So I tried everything, and, you know, the thing was, like, I was worried when I came to WWE because everybody had long hair and tanned or short or shaved heads and tanned. So I thought that's what they wanted. But the greatest thing was the fact I just went natural, like just didn't tan and just grew my hair long.
Yeah.
And I just stood out even more. So I was kind of like going against what I look like naturally. So it's worked out really well, especially in the beginning. People were shocked.
Yeah. I love your hair sometimes when they come out and your hair is just like, was one of the first things about Jericho back when he was in WCW, when he come out with that big whale tail ponytail on the front. And some of the times the things that they get your hair up as high as they do, it just makes me laugh when you come out there.
Well, on Monday, where were we? We were in Buffalo. I did something and part of the mohawk just kind of went to the side. So, like, the whole crowd started chanting, "Fix your mohawk, fix your mohawk." I'm like, oh my God, cheers, guys. It was great.
You gotta love that. What we got, WWE superstar Sheamus is here. Sheamus also, Tampa. Well, you live in Tampa. I know you were you in St. Augustine or something in the beginning?
I was there for a little while.
Yeah.
I moved up there for a little while, living with the ex for a while. I literally lived in Tampa most of my time in America. I came over in 07, moved up there in 09, moved back here in 11, summer 11. And I bought a house in Odessa, but now I moved in closer to the town because I'm never home, mate.
Yeah, I know.
I was figuring out, like, I spent most time traveling, even when I was home, so I just got a place downtown.
If I were you guys, I'd get a one-bedroom apartment just for the 3 days a week you're home, and then give it 10 years and buy a nice house. That's my plan for the future for the WWE.
For your plan?
It's what I would tell the new kids when they come in. What do you have a girlfriend, wife, married now? What do you know?
No, it's too, yeah, I'm on my own, mate. I'm just too difficult when you're traveling all the time, you know?
Oh, no. I'm all for that. I just wanted to say, the last WrestleMania I went to, which was
12, was it Miami?
Was it Miami?
Yeah, it was Miami.
I don't remember it, but we were watching the matches in like the family area. No, it was New Orleans, I think.
I'm talking
about the New Orleans one.
Okay.
And there was this hot girl there in the family area, and she kind of looked at me a couple of times. And I looked, and she smiled, and I was like, yeah, only this girl is hot, and she likes me, and she's why I could tell she wanted to say something to me. And I was like, I'm just going to go entertain this and see what's going on. They were getting closer and closer. And then finally, we were right next to her, and she said, hi. And I said, hi. I said, this is it. And she goes, I'm Sheamus' girlfriend. I said, good talking to you. I was like, she's either from Tampa or, yeah.
She was from Tampa.
No good. No good at all. I was like, yep, not taking that beating. I'm very excited for WrestleMania. WrestleMania will be here in Orlando in April 2nd. Tickets are available now. When do you know what your role in WrestleMania will be?
Man, I won't know that till, I mean, it just depends, but normally you don't know till like maybe a month out what you're doing.
Oh, really?
And sometimes then you don't even get an answer. It's very up and down, right? WrestleMania, it's for me, like, obviously that's the, for everybody, that's the biggest show.
Sure.
I'm one of the biggest shows on earth, mate, to be honest with you. Like, I've had some great ones, you know. 26 was my first against Triple H, was kind of spoiled in that one. 27, then it was a dark match with Daniel Bryan. 28, we had the 18-second match, and 29, tag match. So you never really know where it's going to go, but like just being part of WrestleMania is an unbelievable experience. The fans love it. It's a whole week-long process, and
it is a really good time. I mean, I'm if you're a wrestling fan, you grow up. I'm a 45-year-old man, And I've been to like the last six of them, and I've not taken my 10-year-old son one time. So. But it is the whole, I mean, when it was in New Orleans, you get that whole week. It's like a Super Bowl. It's like a Super Bowl.
If you're a wrestling fan, if you're not a wrestling fan, you don't miss WrestleMania. It's literally everybody tunes in. But yeah, like it's, and the fact it's in Orlando too is amazing. Citrus Bowl, April 2nd. Good job it's not April 4th, right, Hopkins?
Surprise.
That probably wouldn't be good. But yeah, I mean, it's my first WrestleMania was actually at the Citrus Bowl. I was on a developmental contract. I actually put the ring up before Mania and took it down.
Oh, you're serious? Awesome.
Yeah, after Taker wrestled Edge, and I was in there like watching everyone leave. Like we were literally up in the rafters. We watched Flair's last match, retirement match against Michaels, and then I watched it all. Like, but the Taker. The Undertaker Edge match was amazing.
We were there.
I was there taking the ring down at the end, but watching all the people like looking up at the stands, watching everyone leave. It was unbelievable.
Now, what is that all about? They always say that Vince used to make Shane do all that stuff, put the ring together, sell T-shirts. Is that just to keep you guys humble and let you know every part of the? Because it's not like they can't afford a couple guys to go take the ring apart.
No, it's respect for the business. Like, it's the same in FCW or NXT when the guys are there. They all put the ring up. They get there early. They set the ring up together. They put it up, and then they put all the banners up, and they take it down, you know. It's just having respect, like, just, you know, for what you do and, you know, what you love. And a lot of the guys, like, you know, there's a lot of guys who've never been wrestling fans who are athletes from different, you know, sports like American football or hockey or whatever. And they'll come in, you know, and... You know, they're signed because they're great athletes, and they'll come in and they have to learn. They won't know much about wrestling. They'll get an opportunity, but you know that they learn respect very, very fast.
Yeah,
that's keeping people grounded.
Keeping them humble. Yeah, I think that's interesting. That's probably when I would quit too. I'd be like, oh, I didn't sign up for this. Don't we have an omelet guy here or something? Yeah.
It definitely motivates you to get out of developmental and kind of move on. Like, but you know, I've a year and a half I was there on. South Del Mabry by Gandhi, you know, that school was. And I watched the school be built from nothing into, you know, a great performance center that it was under Steve Kern. And then, you know, I got a chance on the road and that was it. But it's really, really important to have those, that background there where you just, you know, you learn the values, you learn who's come before you, and you learn respect for what it is. Because, you know, a lot of people, they don't realize till they get in the ring, you know, like how difficult, how physical it is. And it's always great to watch their eyes open, like almost pop out of their head when they take the first bump. It's a lot of fun. I remember one time we had this footballer down there, and he was real cocky, you know, real into himself. I guess he was like a backup for some NFL team. And Natty Neidhart gets in, and, you know, he didn't have any respect for the business.
Right.
Natty Neidhart comes up in a real soft voice, goes, "Hey, Ryan, can I get in the ring with you? Just want to do some stuff." And he's like, "Yeah, sure, you know, real like Suave." She beat the absolute bollocks out of him. I don't think he ever came back after that.
Are you surprised how popular the women's division is, and how, I mean, I know the talent's always been there, but man, you can get, I there'd be a time where, you know, you get two hot chicks fighting and you're just hoping there's a nipple slip, and now it's like a co-main event match of the night. I mean, the chicks are killing each other.
Yeah, the chicks are doing great. I mean, the girls, chicks, I'm going to get slapped at the head.
Those plots. You tricked me
into that one. Then we're going to go back to TV. I'm sorry, the pay-per-view on Sunday.
How about those old slags?
Jump on me, knock the head off me. No, I think it's great. You know, like, it's a lot of the girls have been pushing for that. You know, there's a lot of great athletes. You know what I mean? Like, I talk about developmental. I was in there with Talia. I was in there with Alicia Fox and the Bellas. And, you know, now, of course, we got, Becky Lynch, who another fellow Irish girl, who's doing fantastic.
She's hot.
Charlotte. And I'll let her know you said that.
I'm sure she'll be happy to know.
And Sasha Banks. Oh, she'd be delighted. She's most down to earth person I've ever met, Becky.
I actually
set her up for the first tryout.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But she's the most down to earth. She's like, that's why people gravitate towards. There's nothing false about Becky. She really is. She's, you know, she's very motivated. She's very friendly, and she's just happy to be there. You know what I mean?
Sure.
She enjoys everything. So.
How about Carmella?
I don't know Carmella.
Can you hook that up? You think
we have to get your big cast? I think
That's fine. I'd be willing to take. I'd be taking the beat. I'm just
he's
kidding.
He's 7 foot tall, right?
Yeah. I heard. But he's soft. From what I understand. Oh my God. I love those guys, by the way. I think they've been, Enzo's been on the show. I think they're a great team. But she's from my hometown, Carmella. I'm from Staten Island.
She's from Staten Island. For sure. She's really from Staten Island.
I don't know if she is or not, but that's what they say. So I'll take it.
Okay.
Very, very rarely is Staten Island represented in a positive way. So if it's from a hot blonde, we'll take it.
What about Enzo? You think you get one of those Enzo haircuts? You think you could grow your hair out to get
Listen to me.
Haircut?
I want hair so bad that I would wear it like Enzo if I could grow it. I would. If they said, look, we'll give you hair, but you got to look like that guy, I would take it.
I think you're better off the way you are.
Yeah. Who is the toughest guy in the locker room?
Me.
Legitimately?
Probably me.
No, I don't think so.
You know what? Don't be fooled by it. You know what I mean?
If it was a street fight, who would win?
Me.
You.
Yeah.
Over Goldberg?
Absolutely, of course.
I agree with that. We know Goldberg's been getting his ass kicked before. Brock Lesnar?
Yeah, I'll honestly say that Brock Lesnar is literally one of the toughest. It's not just in the locker room, but like literally anywhere. Like he's former UFC champion multiple times. And like he's just... I wrestled one time in Houston, actually. I was getting excited because we had a live event. I can't say house show anymore. Live event in Houston back in, I think it was like March maybe. No, or maybe before Mania. And we tore it down, man. Like it was physical. Everyone was waiting there backstage. I think just to see, you know, I was going to bounce Sheamus around. But man, it was a great fight. We bet the absolute bollocks out of each other. It was like we literally knocked lumps out. It was one of my favorite matches.
Well, you're no little dude. You're a big, tough guy. I mean, that's a good matchup. From a fan's point of view, when we see two monsters get in there in the ring, that's what we like to see.
Well, I mean, I was hoping something would come of it, you know, but of course it just faded into nothing, which is...
Why does Goldberg always look like a fly flew in his mouth when he's trying to get tough? You ever notice that?
I don't really like Goldberg, do you?
No, I don't like him. I don't like him, but he's good for wrestling. I like that he's in the WWE, and I like that they brought him back and all that. But as a fan, I want to see Brock Lesnar smash his old face.
This is great. That's why you have to subscribe to the network, man.
Oh, look at me. I know you're the only guy on the network. Why I have the network? So when I'm in my car, if I can't get home in time, I go watch things. I watch pay-per-views in the car. I'm telling you. There comes a time where a man should separate himself from wrestling, and I have not reached that point yet.
That's great. I do the same thing myself, to be honest. During the show, if we're on first and we got like a 5-hour drive, we'll just watch the rest of the matches on the phone, whatever, on the way the next bit, in case we've got to leave, you know what I mean?
Listen, the WWE Network, I've said this plenty of times before when there were nobody here, they're ahead of the game on that. They're ahead of the game. As soon as they did it and were successful, then the HBOs and the Showtimes. But the WWE Network did it right. For the price of one pay-per-view, you get everything. And if you're a wrestling fan, you get everything on there.
It's an estimate. It's like $10 for a month. A pay-per-view back in the day would cost, I don't know what, $35, $45. So, I mean, it is great, you know. It's a great concept. They're consistently trying to update it and make it better. There's a lot more shows going on. Like, they're doing the Cruiserweight, I think, are getting their own show now as well. Like
which is great. That Cruiserweight division, I mean, you can't keep those guys from... somersaulting every 2 seconds. Yeah. I mean, there really has been some amazing stuff in there.
I have seen moves lately that I've literally like never seen before from some of these guys.
Yeah.
And they're all great guys. And Kendrick was there. I actually had one of my first couple of matches when I came on the road back in 2009 before I debuted. I was wrestling Kendrick.
Yeah, he's been around for a while.
Yeah, same with Daniel Bryan. He trained with Shawn Michaels, you know. So Kendrick and Daniel Bryan came up together. But Kendrick's unbelievable talent. Like, but it's good to see him back there. And you can see he's kind of like, he's coaching a lot of those guys, you know, like the new guys. He's kind of a mentor to them. And he's helping them along the way. And he's doing a fantastic job of like, you know, keeping them where they need to be.
Right.
But also keeping the division very exciting.
I like it. Sheamus, WWE superstar Sheamus is here. WWE's WrestleMania returns to the Camping World, I think it's called now, the Camping World Arena.
Is that what it's called?
Camping World Stadium.
Can we keep
Orlando.
That out of it? Out of the day,
I'm sure they paid a pretty penny to be in it. They will
I'm
be out there.
Joking, Camping World. Basically, a tent or something, you know. Get kicked out of the house, I get locked out. It's WrestleMania 33. It's Orlando. My first one was 24. This is very special to me. It's obviously down the road from everybody here.
Surprisingly, they're going to ask you to take the ring apart when it's over. That's going to be your role.
The way everything's going, they might ask me to take the ring down. But tickets on sale Friday at 10 a.m. And
what do you want to do? If you had a pick right now, if they said we're going to let you book your own match, what do you got? What do you got in the works?
You know, I just want this thing with Cesaro to keep going. I'd love to be tag team champions with him and just to see where this dynamic goes.
Right.
I've never really been in a situation. We were in the League of Nations. That was just for a hot minute. But, you know, that wasn't that much fun. But the whole thing with Cesaro concept is great. And it's all about, for me, it's all about challenging myself. And you get in the ring, when you're in there for such a long time, you know, it's just trying, you got to find a way to keep it interesting, not just for yourself, but also for the audience. They've seen a lot side of me. They've seen certain sides of me, the goofy. I mean, I look back sometimes at the time when I was a baby. baby face. And it makes me want to throw up. Like, I was just so bleeding vanilla. I was just so vanilla, man. I'm like, oh, man. This is some of the promos. I'm like, because, you know, everything you get to is like, it's a lot of scripts, too. And, you know, I was kind of hesitant to go off the cuff. Like, I'm like, I'd never say that.
Right.
And you're trying to say, you know what I mean? Like, so, But
that's right. Like old radio shows. We can't listen to old radio shows when we first started out.
It's the worst, right?
Right, Galvin? Killer, rock and roll.
Oh, yeah.
So, just for me, it's like, it's as an entertainer, performer, you want to keep trying yourself, pushing yourself, and trying to find new avenues to expand it. And I think the dynamic with me and him, it's been great. I've been discovering things about myself that I never had before. A lot of the stuff we do, I did a promo in Scotland where I just took the piss out of the Scottish the whole time. It was fantastic.
It was great. It was great.
So much fun. I was on my stuff, you know what I mean? That was what I'd say, how I'd say it. And that's the key for it, you know? It's like, for me, it's just trying to, and I know you want to talk there. You've actually took three breaths there where you tried to, I didn't let you get in.
No.
But it really is. It's for me, it's just trying to expand and trying to be fun and just have fun and just, you know, enjoy this part of my career because, you know, it goes like this, man. It goes up and down, up and down. Like last year, I was WWE World Heavyweight Champion, you know, and then we risked New Day at Mania, and you don't know where it's going to go, but you just make the most of it.
That's what I was going to ask you: who's the tag team champs now? Is it New Day?
New Day. Still. Okay. I think they're almost the longest ever running tag team champion.
They got their own cereal. So
their own T-shirts, their own vibrating dildos that they wear.
those are unicorn horns.
Oh, they're unicorn
horns. How dare you?
Totally
Adam Hopkins is who's also here with WB.
He's just crap appalled. His
pants. He's appalled at what I'm saying.
You get a whole entourage travel with you when you do these radio appearances?
I just saw these guys on the side of the road. They looked like they needed a good meal, so I just on the way over.
They're quite intimidating, not from a muscular point of view, but I have questions I want to ask you, but I want to go like this.
Your man over there is well relaxed there. See, he's got the hands in the pocket.
Who is that guy?
Chewing gum. He's got the stance to one side.
He should be putting the ring away. That guy. How old is he? How old are you?
He should be in school.
Yeah. 27. What do you do?
Wrestling Spanish.
PR or what?
Yeah, PR.
Okay.
Come on over here.
What are you afraid of? The PR guy should be able to be the most eloquent guy.
You should be giving me advice on how to say and how to say.
I'll ask him a question, and you can be like the press secretary. You jump in if you have to. Don't look at him. Look at me, Seamus. I heard Jericho put an ass whooping on Sin Cara on the plane. Were you there for that?
I was there for that.
You are? Is it true?
No, I just, listen, mate, when we're on tour, you know what I mean? There was no ass whipping.
That's what I want to know. Was it an ass whipping?
No, there was no ass whipping. Okay. It's just like, that's the thing. Like, a lot of stories that come out, they're just, you know, people exaggerate it. They get twisted and turned. There was
just
no ass
whipping.
Just an argument, man. Just a little argument.
But Jericho has been known to put ass whipping on people.
I've heard that he has.
Yeah.
But, listen, mate, you're on tour for 2 weeks in time, you know, like, things like, you know, we're all personalities. Everyone's tired. You know, you get an argument. But that's all it was, just an argument. Yet, and all of a sudden, it's all over all the sheets and stuff that people are, like, knocking each other out. And being put through glass windows and stuff like that. So,
right.
It's crazy. Like,
the oxygen mask fell on the plane. Everybody was going crazy.
Yeah.
The captain was screaming. Yeah. There's a guy in the wing.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
It's just the way, you know, like, it's just, like, one story. And then dirt sheets will just take that story. And then dirt sheets will take that story. And they'll zoop it up because they want people to read. Apparently, I was knocked out twice or something. You know
what?
I
mean? Who knocked you out?
Nobody knocked me out, but they're the stories in the dirt sheets.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, well,
neither
did I until I read them on the dirt sheets.
I only know that Jericho has been known to take a guy down and put him in a rear naked face lock until he cries. So that's why I had to.
He's got that amateur background, you know.
He did. Because he's got a little bit of Stu Hart lunatic in his head still. He hears Stu yelling at him and all the time.
Chris can get fired up, man. I've seen Chris's, like, you know what I mean? He's as I said, like, I spent a lot of time. He's helped me a lot in my career. You know, we have conversations all the time about certain things. I'll always say this. When I was going through that earlier on this year, we had the four-way before SummerSlam to decide who was going on for the Universal Championship. And, you know, that match really kind of got me going in the right direction again before the best of seven series with Cesaro. So he's been a great help. He's full of knowledge, man, Chris. As you can see what he's doing now, like you talk about reinventing yourself, he has reinvented himself every step of the way. And like even now with the list and the scarf with no shirt, I mean, he does not give like does not care.
No.
He just does not care. And that's what the great thing about it is. That's what makes it so great, because, like, he just, at this stage of his career, he doesn't give a damn. And he'll just go and do anything he can to get a reaction and push people's buttons. And that's, like, that's a sign of a great performer.
The night when Ashton Kutcher and the other guy were on together, I had to text him that night because it was so funny. He was so funny, I felt like I had to tell him how funny he was. I just, because he's always good.
Yeah.
But it was so goddamn funny. I was like, that made me laugh out loud. It was good stuff. Yeah. The show is consistently great. If you are a wrestling fan, you are lucky because you got two shows. You got January 7th here. There is a Monday Night Raw. And then you have the Super Bowl of wrestling. The WrestleMania will be in Orlando at the Camping World Stadium on April 2nd. Tickets are available this Friday. Are you excited that The Rock is the sexiest man alive? That opens up doors for all of you guys now?
I thought Donald Trump was the sexiest man alive.
This is not true. This is not true whatsoever.
Maybe I read it wrong then, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's good for The Rock. Fair play to him, you know what I mean? I don't think he's ever had a problem, with the picking up the ladies' side. Even when I was a kid watching wrestling, all the girls in my college were like, they were in love with The Rock.
So
now it's Roman Reigns, I think.
Yeah, he's pretty Roman Reigns.
Women love him.
Yeah, I know. The Rock. So my wife and one of Undertaker's wives back in the day used to be really good friends. So we'd go to the show, but it was when we were just dating. And I didn't want them to run in. I didn't want her to meet The Rock. I don't need that. I didn't need that competition at the time. Because every girl was loving him, and he was throwing eyebrows at everybody and wearing those stupid Egyptian shirts that he had on, whatever he was wearing.
Yeah, I don't think I would pull that off. I know that for a fact, like, he's in the, like, again, just from what he's involved in everything, you know. Like,
yeah.
And I think as well, you look at Cena now. Cena's doing those other things with the reality show, and he's doing movies as well. I think Cena looks at The Rock now as well. And when I was in WWE, like, when Cena was there as a full time member, I think he's less of now, even though he'll be around as much as whenever he's not doing anything else.
But right,
he was like go, you know. And I think he's like, The Rock is just even one level above that. I think, you know, Cena sees that, and like, he's always looking for competition, Cena. Like, he's always trying to, you know, his
sure.
mentality is to be the best. So I think there's going to be, in a couple of years' time, I think there's going to be a lot more competition between The Rock and Cena outside WWE. But definitely, you got to look at the big picture. And for me, being in WWE for so long, it's been great. I want to be here as long as my legs and my back will carry me. So hopefully another 10, 12 years, whatever I can go. But after doing the Turtles movie this year as well, I'd love to be involved.
Sure, once you get, don't you like that though, to be part of your big movie is a big deal, as opposed to doing the Marine 17. You're like in a legit blockbuster.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of cool. It was a really cool vibe. Like, I got that came out of nowhere, and I definitely got me thinking about doing more. You know,
yeah,
because it's good to be able to, like, especially the longer you come in your career, you know. Like what Chris does, he comes and goes, you know what I mean? But he's still with WWE, like, full time, but he'll go off for a little bit. And, like, I'd love to be able to do stuff like that, like Game of Thrones Walking Dead or you know what I mean, Vikings. I'd love to be able to do stuff like that to keep it interesting. It keeps it interesting for me too, you know what I mean? And it's definitely, I'd love to get more into movies and TV shows and while being an active member on the roster.
I was thinking about that yesterday. Walking Dead never has a car with air conditioning. Like, we just assume in the zombie apocalypse, the air conditioning doesn't work in all the cars. Like, do you think about that?
Yeah.
And then we've never seen one. This is perfect. Don't even say anything. Just be on the show. And then when we see a zombie, we go, is that Seamus?
Yeah.
Because we assume that you're going to, I mean, there's got to be famous people that die too. Or eventually we're going to be like, that's Robert De Niro zombie. Well,
when Abraham came on, that was my old look. Everyone's talking about how he stole my old look. Yeah. That's why I changed the mohawk.
I love the mohawk. The mohawk's so awkward. It's fantastic.
It's super awkward. It's a pain in the arse to get up.
Oh,
well,
I bet.
To be honest.
I bet.
But
by the way, John Cena has won. He's in a strict competition. He and I are in a strict competition together for who the most famous person in Pasco County is. We live only a couple miles away from each other. I humbly admit that he is a little bit more famous than I am. Then the great Sheriff Naco knocked me down. That's now I'm in the top three famous people in Pasco County.
That's not bad. I mean, how many people live in Pasco County?
That's what I'm saying. Quite a few, couple hundred thousand.
15.
I think Jimmy Anvil's out there somewhere too. But, you know, I still rank above him.
Who's number two in Pasco
County? It's Cena.
And Nikki
it used
Bella.
To say, I used to. I
Nikki
used to.
Bella, Cena, Nikki Bella. You're number four.
No,
it was number two.
She beats me in a sexy competition, but I'm still a little more famous. She goes to Publix, people are just like, she's hot. They don't realize it's her. Me, I'm like, they're like superstar. Although
they're like, he's hot, and they realize super,
yeah. Although I don't think Cena likes me, and I don't know if it's because of our competition to be the most famous person in Pasco County. We had the most awkward confrontation ever. At a 7-Eleven.
Oh, I know the one on the way out to at the crossroads there, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I train out in Land O'Lakes. I train out with
his
trainer, Rob, yeah.
Okay, that's right near my house. So I live, okay. You know where the high school is over there?
No, I don't.
Okay, so if you make a left on 41 from 54,
okay,
and you go down towards Cena's gym,
yeah,
I'm on the right-hand side about 6 miles down. So you have to pass my house to
at
get
the
there.
The trailer?
Right past the trailer.
Okay.
So
there's a big sign on your head, or is that printed on the side of that trailer?
Yeah, everybody, my door is the mouth. Everybody walks right through my mouth. So he is right around the corner. He's not too far from me. And I see, you know, Lamborghinis every once in a while. Now, he's been on the show a bunch of times. I've known him. You know, we've been in each other's presence for a while. He's always been super nice to me.
Yeah.
And then one day it just turned, and I saw him at a 7-Eleven. I was getting gas here. He was getting gas here, but he was inside. And when he came out,
what was he driving? Was he driving his
Ferrari?
His Ferrari. Yeah. He's got a serious amount of cars.
Oh yeah, he does. I know. God bless him. And that's how I know. That's why he's the most famous person in Pasco County. Because if it's a car above a Mercedes, Cena owns it. I know it's him.
I don't know about you. I have a push bike, mate.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're putting the ring together.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
That's good.
So he came out, and I was pumping gas, and we looked at each other, and we locked eyes, and I went to say hi to him, and he went, and he just put his head down. I was like, all right, good talking to you, buddy. Completely emasculated me. I'm not mad at him.
Nah, you know what? He probably was in a different world.
I would imagine that he probably just doesn't want to talk to anybody anymore. Like he wants 5 minutes of peace in his life where people leave him alone. And I can't say I blame him at all.
I can't say I blame him either.
I did ask him one time when we were on the phone. I said, look, my son's a huge fan of yours. And the other day we went to Starbucks and they said, we just missed you by 2 seconds. I said, if we see you next time, he goes, oh yeah. I go, no, let me finish. I go, if we see you next time and I start pushing you around, just sell it for me, will you? Just be like, I need my kid to grow up thinking I'm tough.
He probably saw you at 7-Eleven. He's like, oh God, there's that guy who comes to ever WrestleMania.
Without
never,
his kid.
Yeah, never brings a kid. Weirdo. Always on the boards.
Are you going to say anything?
What? No, I'm good. But thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey,
hi.
Sure.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
How's it going?
Yeah, it's good.
Why are you being a wise ass to Seamus?
Well, I'm not being a wise
you
ass.
You want him to smack you in the
please,
chest really
please
hard?
Please don't smack me on the chest. I don't want to choose life.
I know. I feel like you can be hard to conversation too.
Yeah,
I mean.
Yeah, I mean, you know. I want to find the right moment. Usually they make fun of me.
Well, I don't know how much long we have in this interview. We've been going quite a while, so there's a couple of right moments.
Normally when I say stuff, they will just stop everything and just stare at me.
It's like a train wreck.
Yeah, I try not to.
Everything is flowing.
You two are related. Yeah,
that's what they said. He's wrestling Spanish.
Yeah.
He's wrestling Spanish.
So you were saying your first, I bet you at WrestleMania 28.
The one that we were in, Miami, and you're one of the coolest guys that I got to meet, yeah.
Oh, I told him to say that.
Yeah. That's why we don't talk. He's going to kiss your ass the whole time.
Listen, I was excited, right? It's good to see you again. This is why I don't talk.
Brother.
Nothing.
So what do you do if you don't talk?
I record audio and make sure everything runs smoothly for his endorsements.
I hang
the banners, so
he wears
like
a tie.
Ring,
they all look crooked, actually.
Don't do that.
This is from a guy who set up WrestleMania rings.
Right.
It'd be weird if I set the ring up crooked. Now we're sliding to one side of the ring.
I'm going to be the Vince McMahon of the show. Right, I'm going to start to make you guys do all the terrible work to keep you humble.
I'm humble.
Don't let him bully you. Don't let him bully you.
Don't let him tell you what to do.
I like him. He's on my side.
He's got no authority in this room. Unless a fist fight breaks out, he's got no control in this room.
If a fist fight breaks out,
whatsoever. If a fist fight broke out and he was beating me mercilessly, would you, knowing full well that you get killed, would you try to defend me?
I mean, I'd have to, but
you would.
I would not like that.
What would you do? How would you do it?
I would just probably throw myself at him and just fall and be like,
it doesn't seem to be like a very effective method.
Well,
like a human dart?
Yeah, basically, yeah. Like a tiny human dart.
Would you scream anything?
Absolutely. I would just be like, Seamus, no!
No.
Bacalta! Bacalta!
If Seamus was on top of you,
I would turn around if he shouted, I'd be like, what the?
If he was beating you up, I would just grab my chair and pick it up over my head and then sit down closer so I could see.
No, thank you. By the way, if the two of us were intertwined, it would be the whitest thing since a veal farm.
How do you keep so white anyway?
I'm not a big outside kind of guy. I'm always working.
I know.
I don't keep. You just don't.
I'm
you
saying
you
blocked every.
Yeah, we don't need light.
Yeah.
We don't need light in here. We need to keep it at a nice, comfortable, cool pace in here. Listen, I love that you came in today. I've been trying to get you to come in forever.
I told you, I run the show for you. I'm just reading this here. Bone TV, Real Robert, warning adult content by Edmonds. Do you agree?
What are you saying?
You will be exposed to adult content and situations. You may be filmed, the station may stream, otherwise use that content at its discretion, body parts. But I love the way you don't even see it when you walk in.
They're on the door outside. We have it all in the legal spots where it needs to be. Be like, hey, we told him.
No, but I'd love to do more of this. I didn't know how far close I was. I mean, I know we talked to you about coming on the show for a long time.
Well, listen, you're a funny dude, and I like you, and you're a huge WWE superstar. So you are welcome to come by. If you get a hair up your ass one day and you'll be like, I'm going to come by and go see those guys, just text me and say I'm coming. I'd love to have you come here.
I'd love to, yeah, because I said it's only across the river or the water. Or
the
whatever.
River. The river. He's kayaking here to the show. Good luck at WrestleMania. I hope you have a huge match that doesn't involve you setting up or tearing anything down.
Me too.
And what else? Any other film projects in the works?
I did a movie called The Tone, independent movie with Columbus Shorts a couple of months ago. There's a few things going on that could potentially lead to something, but nothing right now. But if I do, I'll let you know. But it's, as I said, it's just a process of getting time. Like, so without sounding like a moaning or going in a long-winded thing, we came off a 2.5-week European tour. A week before that, I came back from India, tour India, which was unbelievable, amazing. Before that, we're in South America. Before that, we did a London Manila China tour, Australia. It's just the travel schedule has been absolutely crazy.
Ridiculous,
I mean, I've seen a lot of the world in such a short time. But if I do get time, I'll definitely pop in here and I'll definitely try and get some more projects. But WrestleMania 33, tickets on sale Friday at 10 a.m. It's in the Camping World Arena.
Leave the plugs to me, buddy. Camping World Arena, April 2nd.
You got shares in that or something, have you?
What, the Camping World? Yeah. No, but I may want to attend too.
Hey, there's one thing I wanted to say, because Adam Hopkins will be disappointed if I don't say it. In the last 10 years, WrestleMania has generated about $1 billion in revenue for the local cities.
The cities combined,
so that's incredible. So it's going to be great for Orlando. And we can drive down to Orlando every day. I don't have to be stuck in that hotel every day. So
that's
jump in the car, straight down I-4, which will take probably 6 hours, because I-4 sucks. It'll be good. I'd probably be quicker walking there, actually.
How bad
is I-4? How bad? Let's just talk about I-4.
How bad is a hotel? Just stay down there for the week.
Worse. The hotel's worse, trust me. I'll stick with I-4.
Why don't you get a helicopter? How much is going to cost a helicopter to Orlando?
I should have bought one already.
You should put it in your contract.
Let's borrow yours.
Hopkins, get a helicopter. Think about it. All the wrestlers went from driving to getting buses, and then you'd be the guy that gets a helicopter. Be the first guy.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. You just find some little Mexican guy to fly you over there. Like I got Spanish. And they'll fly you over there.
Are Mexican people known to be good at flying helicopters?
Yeah, I don't know where that came from.
Is that a well-known
ever since Trump became president, I'm pro-Mexican now.
He's just going to take his kayak down the river.
Down the river on I-4. Well, not knowing how the rain comes down here as well, it's pretty bad. But yeah, so, by helicopter.
Do you know Conor McGregor? I just assume all you Irish people know each other.
I met him one time years ago. We did a movie called The Escapist back in, 2004 maybe, 2005. I haven't met him. Like I remember meeting him, but I haven't met him since he became a huge star.
Will he be working with you guys one day, you think?
You know, I said before, like, he's definitely a big showman, you know what I mean? And I think he's done, I don't know what else he's going to do in the UFC. He's beating everyone up. So, you know, I think as an entertainer, he'd be great. I don't know, full-time schedule for these guys, like, people don't understand how intense our schedule is. People like that, like, you know, from different aspects will come in and probably do a couple of shows, whatever, make appearances, and they'll make an impact. That's all it's all about, cross-branding as well, which brings a lot of new audience members in. But, you know, the full-time schedule we do is just, I love what I do, and that's, you know, we all love what we do all the year.
Yeah, you're not complaining, it's just taxing. Yeah. It's a different lifestyle.
Trust me, being in the ring is, like, there's nothing like it. Being out there, you know what I mean, Monday night every week, being out in Scotland, just slagging everyone off, like, having 20,000 people or a mania, 100,000 people. But, like, you know, the travel, people say, what's the worst part of the job? And, you know, the travel is the worst part, but when you're in that ring wearing practically nothing, it's all worth it, you know what I mean? And beating the lumps out of people.
Does that feel uncomfortable?
Yeah, the first time I was saying, my dad was there at the bingo hall in Dublin, and I felt the most, so embarrassed. I felt so, you know, what's the word?
Naked.
Exposed.
Exposed, yeah.
But now I Sure, I love it. It's nothing better than putting on a pair of speed. Nick, just bro kicking everybody. I'm good with it. When you talk about my dad, originally my dad like didn't know what I was doing. He's like, what are you doing? Left a good job, IT, to go off and follow my dream.
Yeah.
And, I'll take these off because I just unplugged the headphones because that's what I do. But he loves it now, you know, and everyone does. It's anyone who watches, and that's for anybody, anyone who grew up watching WWE, you know, when they start watching it, like, you know, when you start watching again or go to a live show, there's nothing like it. People get hooked again.
Most of all, though, what did you buy him? Did you buy him something nice when you started raking in your WWE millions?
You know, he gets taken care of. Yeah. I got one story to tell you, though. I told this the other day. He goes, when I was 16, he's a big bike guy, you know. And so he got a new leather jacket for his bike, you know. So I was a great super bikes and stuff. So I said, Dad, can I have your old leather jacket? Because it was in the grunge and stuff like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like Metallica, Nirvana, all the lads in school. So yeah. 50, just give me 50 quid.
He sold me
his bleeding jacket for 50 quid, right? So I paid it, right? I was like, first of all, I was shocked. Then I realized, no, I'm not shocked because it's my dad.
Right.
So 50 quid, right? So then a couple of years later.
Well, by the way, what's 50 quid?
It would have been like, 50 pounds. So it would have been like $100.
Oh, man. He raped you over that.
He got me good. So, then a couple of years later, I was looking for the jacket and he was wearing it. And he goes, I said, you found the jacket? He goes, yeah, you don't want that anymore, do you? I'm taking it now again. Cheers. But he never gave me the 50 quid.
You should charge him 200. You should have upped it. It's vintage now.
More chance getting the blood out of a stone. But he's great crack. I love him. Like he came over. He's actually at that WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah?
And he was at WrestleMania. He's actually been in a couple of WrestleMania. He's in New York. He was in Miami. And I brought him over for Houston?
Yeah,
but I'm over for Houston. Dallas. Sorry, Dallas.
Dallas, anyway, man. I'm going to go. I'll be at the Raw show here with the kids.
The 2nd, right?
January 2nd or 7th, one of those days. I think it's
January 2nd.
And then, of course, you've got April 2nd. You've got WrestleMania 33.
You're bringing
him
this time, right?
I'm going to bring my son. He's 10 now. I'm audibly putting this out there like a contract. If you see me in the crowd, and there's, you know, the matches spill out sometime to the ring, I'm usually sitting in the front row. You could punch me in the face. I won't sue. I won't do anything. I'll sell it like a champion.
I could just do that now if you want.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. I'm talking about if it's part of the show. I don't need you to rap me. Yeah. You can hit Spanish
please
all you
don't.
Want.
Please
feel
don't.
Free.
Just come out like Ronda Rousey did a couple years ago. Step over. Really.
No way, dude. I've seen the way those guys who tried to jump over that wall get treated. There's nothing that would make me do that.
We'll give them the Iggy. No, but as I said, you won't be disappointed. It's an unbelievable experience for WrestleMania, and there's no excuse now for people, especially in Tampa. It's just down the road.
Absolutely. I mean, literally, it's from Tampa. It's an hour to get there, and it's totally worth
7
it.
Hours in rush hour.
That's right. Thank you, Sheamus. Check him out on WWE. Get the network.